Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome, everyone, to Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us here on this Monday evening. If you're listening live on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Michael Mergens behind the board mixing all this up and making sure we sound good from start to finish through to the 8 o'clock hour. But we have got a good bit to talk about, a recap of the SSAC basketball tournament for the men and women, recapping baseball, softball, and big news and results for William Carey's indoor track and field teams as they competed in the NAIA championship event this past week over in Gainesville, Florida. Coach Ryan McKenzie starts us off here on the show. And Coach, it's been a long week for you, a long drive as well. You were telling me earlier today that y'all drove, including you being the driver yourself, and you're telling me it's been a whirlwind the last few days.
Oh, yes. Glad you guys having me. It feels like we haven't talked in forever. But, yeah, we had a great week. Of course, driving is not anything new to us. When we have to step up, we do those things with no problem. So, yeah, we drove down to Gainesville with the group we had. It was a smaller group than we are accustomed to. We normally travel on charter buses, but a little smaller group, but they had a big impact.
Yeah, I would say so. Just kind of looking at the recap from this past week with the NAIA indoor stuff, which, by the way, you know, congratulations on your Coach of the Year honors in the SSAC for this indoor track and field season. A well-deserved honor. I know you've gotten those a couple times, but we want to honor it each and every year that you get that recognition. But in addition to that, just looking at what Carey's able to do over in the NAIA indoor championships, handful of stars that shined and were able to collect national championships as individuals, including one, Barnabas Agger, in the 60 meter. He performed well in that. Let's just kind of go through some of these different individual performances, Coach, and I can let you take the lead on which ones stood out to you most.
Well, of course, we're going to talk about Barnabas. He broke his own record again. Now he's the NAIA national champion. And he broke his own record, so of course he holds the record now again. NAIA with the 60 meters, and of course he's ranked in the top 10 in the nation, in the world, matter of fact, out of all athletes, not just collegiate athletes, but top 10 in the world with his 60 meter time. We have Fabiana Morales, which she won the triple jump title, which is great. And we have Ronaldo Andrews also won the triple jump title. So we have three national champions that are right there on our campus every day. So we want to congratulate them for their performances. But it was a weekend, and we had a great time, and we had some challenges, and we had some ups and downs. But I think we persevered pretty well.
Yeah, I would say so. And just kind of looking back at that to see, obviously Barnabas, we talk about him every time we bring you on. But Fabiana and Ronaldo, both a triple jump national champions. What is it about that event that Carey just shines in?
Well, we pride ourselves on several events, for one thing. But sprints and jumps has been a staple here at William Carey. For some reason, I think it's more of a Southern thing that we do well. And we continue with Coach Diaz being a great hurdle and sprint coach, and me and myself being a great sprint and jumps coach. I think we persevere in those events pretty well. So we keep trying to make sure that we recruit the right people and get them in the right places. And I think just aligning everything great, and it just keeps going forward.
Yeah, Coach, it's Josh over here, and you mentioned it, perfect segue. You didn't even know where I was going to go with my line of questioning, but you mentioned recruiting people, putting them in the right places, and yeah, depending on maybe the year and depending on the situation, recruiting might be at a little bit more of shall I say, an accelerated pace, if you will, maybe, than a few years past. But now, with the way the overall momentum of the university, athletics, your program on both the men's and women's side, is you probably have just a lot of great recruiters of your athletes as well. They're selling this program as much as you are, right?
Of course. So what we put out in the product we're putting out, it has people intrigued, and we get phone calls, and we get emails, and we get social media, DM, direct messages and all. But I would like to harp on the fact that we have a great administration, all the way from the president, Dr. Burnett, all the way to Coach English. They allow us to recruit the way we need to recruit, and they believe in us as coaches and recruiters. And when we get those messages and everything, and we come back and ask them about them, it's always, hey, go for it and go for what you know. We believe in you, and be successful. So we have support from administration, and that's great.
You know, and we've talked about this before, but where in certain particular sports across the collegiate landscape, maybe in some regards, in some sports, it's apples and oranges. But what makes what you're doing so special? What makes this program so uniquely special to draw the type of talent that you're drawing?
Well, I would love to have that direct answer for you, but I really believe in the faith in what we're doing, and I also am a God-fearing man, and I think that God places us in the right predicaments, and we are actually doing what we believe we're called to do, and I definitely believe that's what draws the athletes here to William Carey, because we're big faith people, and we do the right things, and we do it the right way, and I believe we'll continue to bring in the right people, and I think our program and our university will continue to grow.
Well, no more question, but I just want to say it's great to hear that answer. So refreshing to hear that answer, because as a man of faith myself, to hear somebody talk about just divine favor, that is such a real thing and something that glorifies our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so that's incredible. And I certainly know it's real. And so, man, giving glory where it goes is always a great thing. And I'll pass it back over to Caleb.
Yeah, hey, same goes for me. It's quite refreshing. And, Coach, speaking of refreshing, after a long week out there in Gainesville and a long drive back, is there any time of refreshment for you, or are you hitting the ground running right back at it?
Well, we're right back at it right now because we have a huge high school meet. And to everyone who's listening, we're having a huge high school meet come Thursday, and we invite all the Southern teams in Mississippi to come over, in Alabama, and anyone who wants to, Georgia, anyone who wants to come, high school athletes, wants to come and perform, spectators. Thursday, March the 6th, we will be wide open. You guys are welcome to come out and see some great high school things. We'll be heavily recruiting at that point. So, yeah, that's the next thing for us. And then for as competing-wise, South Alabama will be our opening outdoor meet on the 14th to 15th of March as well.
It comes quickly. You switch gears right from indoor to outdoor season as you're getting ready to host that event, plus go to South Alabama. Coach, just as far as a couple more bits of information for people that may want to come out there, let everybody know, if nobody's been there before, where they can find William Carey Track and Field.
Well, we're on 1000 Cedar Street, and you can come right down William Carey Parkway. Make the first right at the stop sign, and you pass our softball fields, and you'll run right into our track and field. And we're right there, and you guys can come over, and we're definitely going to have a great time, and it's always a great show. So you guys come out and see some great high school kids in our area.
We're talking with Coach Ryan McKenzie, head men's and women's track and field coach at the university. And, Coach, I mean – it just seems like every time we bring you on, we're talking about either championships as a team or individual champions. It's amazing the things that are in the water over there at William Carey when you bring these people in and you get them in this fold. It's an honor to get to talk to you as a championship-level coach. Now, as you look ahead to outdoor season, what are going to be some things that we need to keep our eyes on as spectators?
Well, keep your eye on our sprints, our jumps, our hurdlers. And we're emerging on a distance side as well. We have some athletes that are local right here, and I want to call a name. I don't normally don't call names, but we got a Luke Skinner right there from Oak Grove high school, and he's coming around and being a great athlete for us. And I think that we're going to have some of our local athletes that are going to compete well. We have a local athlete right from College, Mississippi, and Damian Spencer, first ever recruit out of College, Mississippi, first ever signee from Collins High School to ever sign a track and field scholarship. He's doing well in our sprints. So we like to recruit here, not just nationally and internationally, but right here in our state as well. And we're doing a great job. And I would like for everybody to come out and get a chance to see that.
Hey, we'd love to see it too, Coach. Hey, had big results last year with the Lady Crusaders finishing runner-up in the NAIA Championship. Men went fourth. A chance to get past that bump and make it all the way. We look forward to seeing what your guys and girls can do. We wish you all the best.
Hey, you guys stay tuned. I think that we're going to have something real big on our 4x1 relay, as if we broke the 4x1 women's national record last year. We're headed for the men's this year. So you guys stay tuned. I think we'll do something great.
I love it. Thanks so much, Coach.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right. He is Ryan McKenzie, head men's and women's track and field coach for William Carey University. When we come back, a recap of the week, looking back at the SSAC basketball tournament. Also to recap, a big individual performance in baseball back in the midweek. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Appreciate Coach McKenzie joining us on Crusader Talk for our first segment, recapping some NAIA national champions in indoor track and field. Mention those three individuals and Ronaldo Andrews, Barnabas Agger, and Fabiana Morales. Three great athletes of William Carey and now have their name etched in history. Also had some good individual performances as well of people that placed in other events, just not first. You had Celicia Miles getting third place in the 60-meter hurdle. She had a time of 8.38. A couple others. You can find that article on Carey Athletics website. By the way, that reminds me, Josh, we are on the cusp of a very fun new era in following William Carey Athletics as the app is live.
So it is live, officially launched today?
It's been available in the App Store just kind of quietly, but I think it's leaked out enough to where we can publicly say it is out there, it is available, and you can search on the App Store on your iPhone. I believe it's on Android as well. Just search for, I believe it's just Carey Athletics or William Carey. You may see a second app there, and they're working to clear out the old one. But if you search for, I'm doing this myself right now just to see. If you search for William Carey University, and it'll be under the category sports. If you see one that is authored by WCU Student Government, that's who they listed as the author of that one, that's the one you want. And now looking at it, I think they actually did get the old one removed, so there's no confusion now. So if you search for William Carey University and you see that red app icon with a Crusader with Shield logo, that is the app and the place to get all of the information of William Carey sports right there on your smartphone. You can also get some points to earn towards getting gear, as I understand it, for attending events.
And watching events and reading stories, 10 points per story, 50 points to watch. 500 points to go to an event, 100 points to go to an event and upload a picture.
Ooh.
So you share a selfie at the event with and there you go. You get 100 points.
Yep. All en route to some pretty good merchandise. And you can find out all that information
online. That's
good.
You get Carey swag. So I get my notifications. And did you get your 9 a.m. notification this morning for women's golf?
I did.
Yep. So you will know everything going on in William Carey Athletics.
And you can tailor it to your own experience. You don't have to get 9 a.m. alerts about golf. You can get them for baseball. You can get them for softball. You can tailor make it to your liking.
But Caleb, you and I have it. Let's be honest. We have it set to follow everything.
Right. Anytime an article's posted, anytime a final score has been logged, then it will pop up there. You'll have direct links to the video feeds within the app. Right there at the bottom, there's a camera icon. You can follow the live action there. You can also go to the schedules for each team and find the links for live stats, live audio, live video, all of it right there in the palm of your hand of your smartphone.
I love it. So it's been good to be able to instantly just jump on my phone, click on the app, jump into the video, and catch the game. So I was following baseball and softball over the weekend as I was in the kitchen cooking, and had both of them going, which was rare that I was. That's a whole nother story as to why I was home cooking and not calling a game this week.
Yeah,
we'll get to that later. But Ben Milam was in town.
Yeah, he was.
Ben Milam was in town, so Ben was calling. And then baseball was on the road, so that was fun.
He had a good weekend.
To be able to follow those. Yes, he did. No, called some wins over Tennessee Southern, and so softball's 15-2.
Yeah,
not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all. Just a couple conference losses on the year, but otherwise they're kind of drowned out by the wins so far. But let's kind of dive in. You've already teased it. We'll go ahead and knock out the bad news first and then get to the good news in the third segment.
Sure.
Spend the longer segment talking about the good things, not to steal a phrase from Rebecca Turner, who's also on this network. But as we look back, your week was a little bit different than what you originally planned on. As William Carey basketball goes out to the Montgomery Crampton Bowl multiplex to perform in the basketball tournament and just had a rough draw. And we can say that now as hindsight, because when you look back at it, Carey men and Carey women faced the eventual champion in the first game on Thursday, and both of them went one and done, as is a single elimination tournament. And Carey women get their first loss of the year against a team that they went to triple overtime with in the regular season, no less. But all in all, it's a setback, but at the same time, it was all just for extra padding in the resume, and their fate is sealed at this point. The only thing they could have been playing for at that point, beyond an SSAC tournament crown, was a possible top four seed in the NAIA tournament.
And I'm not convinced that they don't potentially still get that. I doubt it, since they're not hosting, but I think they'll be a top eight seed. Could very well be a top eight seed because being one of four number two seeds, right, is where I'm going with that. And I say that because Blue Mountain Christian, their RPI was 69 going into the week. They run the table, so they might jump into quadrant one. So to have a neutral site loss to a quad one team, for it to be your first loss of the season and the eventual conference champion, that really doesn't do much in the minds of the people that are setting the bracket. It could affect that RPI number, maybe, two to four to so spots. I would hope they would be eight or better when that comes out tomorrow. I don't think they'll stay at four, but I also wouldn't be shocked if they're at like six in the RPI, because they're still 25-1. Now, when I peeked over at Southern Oregon, and I think they play for their tournament championship tomorrow, Southern Oregon then is the only remaining unbeaten team. They are 30-0.
Yep, they sure are.
30-0.
They play Lewis Clark State in the championship in their home state of Oregon on Tuesday. Lewis Clark State, number 25 in the polls coming into the week, or as of the last poll.
And I want to throw this in there, too, about noticing the way they do their tournament. The higher seed is hosting. It is broken up over the course of a week. It is not a true tournament feel. So, yes, the Crampton Bowl multiplex is older. Yes, it is a tough venue that is not kind to William Carey. But I am glad that the Southern States does have a venue and does have a tournament.
So let's kind of dive into that. And I mean, you were the one that experienced it out there in Montgomery. Your first time to be over there at the multiplex for the championships of the SSAC. A different vibe, I would say, than your standard home venue. Go in there, call a game, and go home. Have to call it up there on the elevated concourse, but also just a different environment because it's one of two courts with a backdrop dividing the two. You have not as much of a crowd there because it's at a neutral site. Faulkner usually will bring a decent crowd whenever they play at night. But otherwise, it's kind of it's just different. I don't know how I would describe it, and maybe you could put it in your words.
Well, I guess you said it. They didn't have that. I didn't see that they had that second court set up. So they were just kind of walking through the motions. So there wasn't any really place to warm up prior. But then it's also with that first game being on a Thursday, eight games in an hour and 45 minutes in between games. There's a 15-minute in between games and only 10 minutes at the half.
Yeah, enough time to go.
So it is a
get
very
rehydrated and use the bathroom.
That is a very accelerated schedule to what they're used to.
Well, so they have to yeah, avoid games that finish at 1 a.m. Right. Like so we did last year.
And they basically stayed on schedule this year, which was really good. But 25 minutes is typical when it's a normal game day. And then also the 15-minute halftime. So just a lot of things that felt different. And then, of course, just the way it worked out for the ladies, something they had not done all year, they stood and watched the end of that men's game for about 10 or 15 minutes. So just everything about it was out of the norm. And as we know with athletes, they are creatures of habit. They want everything to be in that same routine, that same rhythm, that same warm-up. Nothing was the same. Nothing was normal about that. And they just came out a little flat, but never really settled into the shooting in that gym. Blue Mountain had more energy, had won there the day before, felt like that they owed Cary from that triple overtime home loss early in the season. And I guess the only good that comes out from it now that it's over, now that Cary has lost a game, is that they don't have to carry that bullseye with them into the NAIA tournament, because that's a big bullseye.
It is, and it's the same thing that UConn had for a number of years when they were playing with that 111-game win streak. But, you know, and just kind of digging into that loss to Blue Mountain Christian. By the way, obviously not a blowout. It was 60-57, and it's one that Cary was leading fairly well at the half, but at the end of that first half, you transition to the third quarter. Cary gets outshot 18 points to 9 points, and overall on the day only made 2 of their 12 three-pointer attempts for this team that shoots around 44%. In a total in the third quarter, they made 4 of their 15 shots. That, to me, kind of set them back on their heels.
It did.
And ruined the rest of the game for them as they fall to Blue Mountain Christian by 3 points. Men's team, hard-fought loss against Life, 84-80. Overall, a great effort there, just coming up short against the eventual SSAC tournament champions. When we come back, a look at the Diamond Sports, as softball and baseball have good weeks outside for William Cary. Talk about an individual performance that you will not want to miss out on when we come back. More sports to report as Crusader Talk continues. We continue on here on Crusader Talk. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Michael Mergens behind the board here on this Monday. Glad to be talking about William Cary sports. Already recap the week of basketball as women's team awaits their fate of where they will be in the national tournament. Guys, let's just face it. If this is a bubble situation, they may be on the outside looking in of the bubble if I had to kind of place it. Which maybe they are a true bubble team. This is one of those tough situations. They come into the week with an RPI of 40. They play a really good team in Life who's up there in the RPI. It doesn't help you that you lost to them, but it does help you that you played them. That's another quad one opportunity, but just couldn't get that win. So at the end of the day, the losses have kind of added up for William Cary, and that may hurt their chances of getting in with one of those very few at-large spots.
Well, this is where I don't know who writes the article. I don't know if it's Coach Knight, PJ, Kevin, but this is where the politicking comes in terms of how you frame up the season. And so you're going to have 6 or 7 losses by 3 points or less to this many quad one, quad two teams or whatever. So it's all going to be in the way that they spin that. It does help them that they have the quad one win over Life. So they defeated the tournament champion, but they lost to the regular season champion by 2. They lost to the West Division champion at home by 2. They swept Faulkner, who was is Faulkner still quad one or right on the outside looking in of quad one? I think they might be sweeping a quad one team in Faulkner. They beat Tougaloo on the road. They split with Talladega, who was good early. But it's going to be in how you craft that article. All the good, none of the bad.
Yeah.
And then it's very subjective, like you said. That last team in, last team out, they're right there in that conversation.
Yeah, and I do think both wins against Faulkner are considered quad one wins because Faulkner right now in the last RPI is 31. I believe that's above the threshold for the cutoff of home versus away wins over a team. I could be fact-checked on that later, but nevertheless, it was not bad that you beat Faulkner twice. You can summarize it that way. So, selection show, I'll go ahead and knock that out before we run out of time. Women's basketball will have their RPI released on Wednesday. The selection show will drop on YouTube at 6 p.m. Central Time. As you can find that on YouTube, that'll be, again, Thursday, March 6th at 6 p.m. Women will find out where they will land with their tournament hopes. If the guys make it, you can find out on the selection show for them, which will drop at 7 p.m. following the release of the women's basketball bracket. Same day, March the 6th, but a later time, 7 p.m. Central. So that'll be on the NAIA YouTube channel. You can also go through the NAIA.org website and navigate around to the selection shows area. But easiest place is just go to YouTube, search NAIA, and it'll be there waiting for you. All right, baseball over the weekend, or over the week, I should say. Great week in Crusader baseball. Did drop a decision to Tennessee Southern in an uncharacteristic day for Matthew Davis on the mound. They lost that one 13-7 in the first game Saturday. But sweep of John Melvin in a doubleheader midweek and come out with a run rule victory 19-8 over Tennessee Southern Friday, and then close it out winning the series 7-4 on Saturday. But the biggest performance that stood out to me was not the 17-4 shellacking of the John Melvin Millers on Tuesday. It was the game that followed, and it involved a very good performance from a very highly touted individual from the mound. Let's listen.
No balls, two strikes to Blanchard. Pitch coming. Swing and a miss. A no-hitter. Corey Cook strikes out 14 and goes the full seven to deliver a 5-0 shutout and no-hitter.
So Corey Cook with a no-hitter for William Carey in Tuesday's game. Oddly enough, that's the second no-hitter he's been a part of. The last one that we know of was Carey over Talladega College in the regular season last year. But it's one of those that when you look back at it, you're like, that's a no-hitter? They gave up a run and gave up several walks and may have had an error in there as well, but technically had four pitchers combined for a no-hitter in that one. But this one, a full-game no-hitter for Corey Cook and a very special performance, good enough to earn him SSAC Pitcher of the Week.
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, for a broadcaster, it's a dream to be able to be a part of those moments. You'll always remember those type of moments. And for you, first no-hitter to call?
First one in baseball to call for just an individual pitcher. I had one for Haley Nations in softball against Stillman. I had that game against Talladega that I think we literally signed off or were about to sign off when we realized, oh, by the way, in the line score, no hits for you, for Talladega. But so that was technically my first true no-hitter, if you will. It was seven innings, which some people may kind of discredit a little bit, but it was part of a doubleheader. Didn't really have a choice there.
But you never ripped the lid off of the broadcast and start talking about it in the seventh. You can talk about it in the last inning. You chose to take the extreme conservative route.
It was easy. So I did the same thing with Haley Nations. I never mentioned no hits or no hitter, zero hits. None of the lingo that is kind of the, you know, sound the alarms for the broadcaster jinx. In Haley Nations a couple years ago, I did mention that the only base runner she's allowed was a hit batsman and left it at that. Hers was a terrific performance. Corey Cook walked, I believe, six batters spread around. I think he may have had one or two innings where he walked two, but that was how I phrased it. The only base runners he's allowed have been by way of walk.
Well, to let people in on kind of, once you're getting into the sixth, seventh, in a nine-inning game, for me, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth.
Now you mentioned I'll say something special brewing here.
No, I'll say things like this. I'll just say, look up at the scoreboard right now. You know, Carey with, you know, 3 runs on 5 hits and 2 errors so far right now. No runs, no hits, and so errors for so and so. That's how I'll.
It blends in there.
Yeah, I blend it. There are a couple of ways to blend it in to where you don't say that particular lingo. But then when you get to the last inning, everybody's already standing up and clapping, so to speak, and getting into it. Then I kind of lean into it at that point to kind of build the moment up. So, but no, it's great. And I was hoping that was going to really carry a little momentum in. I wanted Carey to pile up some sweeps and kind of play off the Middle Georgia sweep and give UT Southern credit. They came out and really in that. Was it the first game on Saturday? Swung the bat really, really well, if I'm getting my games correct. Was that right, that first game on Saturday?
Yes, they did. They run-ruled Tennessee Southern at their own place that day. Final score on that one was 19-8.
And that was on Friday?
Yes,
Friday. But then on Saturday, first game on Saturday, that's when Tennessee Southern really came out swinging the bats well.
Yeah, I'd have to check with Coach Ebers or Coach Hallford just about, you know, the storyline there. But a very uncharacteristic day for Matthew Davis. He only was able to record 1 out in the first inning before they had to throw Bobby McGee into the mix. And this is a guy that's been extremely effective coming into this weekend. And in fact, at times I thought he was performing a little bit better than Andrew Shira. But I don't know if something just wasn't working for him, if his velocity may have been down or things went flat, but dude gives up 6 hits, gives up 9 runs, only 4 of them earned, so the defense didn't help him out at all. But all in all, only records 1 out after putting up 9 runs, and Bobby McGee had to come and relieve him before he eventually had to make his exit for Alika Vila to take over. But yeah, it was just single down the right field line, a guy reaching on an error. Another guy singling to center field, another single to left field, single to right, another guy reaching on an error. All this in the first inning. And it obviously, baseball has a way of finding your mistakes and making you pay for them, because that's just how the sport works. So it was 9-0 after the first inning, and Carey was able to kind of piece some runs together. They
got
went 9-5, 9-6. Yeah, 9-7, you're right before the bottom of the sixth. And then Tennessee Southern was able to put 4 more runs on the board to finish the job 13-7.
Wow.
But 3 errors for Carey, and that was costly.
Yeah, but then to bounce back and take the series and not let one game beat you twice, that was really nice to see.
Yeah, absolutely. With Connor Wilson pitching, he's become the new third-game starter. He helped open the door for Carey to finally get a third-game win on last week's the weekend before's outing. Preston Ratliff eventually, I think, got that win technically, but he was the one that set the table for it. But Connor goes 7 innings. He does give up 4 runs, 3 of them earned, but he strikes out 10 in that performance where Carey is able to win 7-4 over UT Southern. Carey got out to a 3-0 lead quickly, and that kind of helps your defense a lot to go ahead and be playing with that lead, protect it. Tennessee Southern got it to 3-2 after 5. Carey added 3 more insurance runs in the 7th. And we're able to close out the game, finishing it off winning 7-4. Elsewhere on the week, we got a couple minutes left to talk about softball. You came right back to town from Montgomery, got to cover Blue Mountain Christian taking on the Crusaders. It felt a little bit like the curse of the goat. The toppers were just had Carey's number there for a second.
Yeah, we were not too happy about the trend, the alarming trend that was building after game one. Carey just was flat in that first game, completely flat. Got up 1-0. Blue Mountain tied it. Blue Mountain took the lead. And then they took the lead in the 5th. And then Carey did not answer. And when they didn't answer in the bottom of the 5th, you go, uh-oh, Montgomery was pitching very well for Blue Mountain Christian. And Blue Mountain Christian always plays their Crusaders well. Does not matter what the sport is. And so I think it's one of those situations where, and it's being said, and it needs to be said, is that I think, I'm just throwing this out there, and I know I'm not the only one that's thought this, that Blue Mountain Christian considers this more of a rivalry than Carey does.
A little bit.
Carey better start considering it more of a rivalry, because if you don't, then it can come up to bite you at the worst time. And so for softball, for example, if you're looking to host a regional, Blue Mountain is a very good, very well-coached, very competitive team, but they have been hovering around 500. That's a loss that could cost you. And look at what it did for basketball. Very good, very competitive team, got hot late, but you don't ever want to be in a position where you don't take the toppers seriously. That is a ever more competitive program. And so, Crusaders, take them seriously because they certainly take William Carey seriously. We get Blue Mountain's best in everything. We cannot afford to come out flat.
And then they came back, got the win, then swept UT Southern on Saturday. But funny note, Kevin Rosary was reaching out to Blue Mountain Christian's SID to tell him what that conversation was like.
Yeah, quickly. Briefly said that he was off the Christmas card list, and then he got a text a little while later. He said, hey, don't worry about it. You can send me a Christmas card. Y'all just swept us in tennis 7-0-7-0. So I'm back on the Christmas card list.
Perfect. The wonderful world of sports information directors in the SSAC. We'll wrap things up with you next. Crusader of the Week honors and a whole lot more as we finish up next. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Good stuff on the show today. Recap of baseball, a little bit of softball action as well. Josh, just to kind of continue that conversation, we were cut short a little bit on the week that softball had, but some good individuals that have shined already so far this season. One you had mentioned to me was Julia Shaw and what she's done.
Oh, my goodness. I think she's top five in the country in terms of RBI. 21 RBI, 7 doubles, batting .477. So much so, Blue Mountain pitched around her for an entire game, walked her 3 times.
Don't mind that.
Walked her in the first at bat in game 2 on Friday, and then it wasn't until the bases were loaded where they had to pitch to her with one out that she rips a 2-RBI single. That opened up the game and opened up what would be a 6-0 win. But we knew pitching was going to be the story this year for softball, and Rihanna Neiman is kind of just by force. Nothing that Ryan Hornsby has done wrong. She's just going and putting herself into that number one spot. A .56 earned run average. Hornsby a 1.26. So a team ERA of 1.09. So they put a crooked number up. There's a good chance that Carey is going to win that game. They are 15-2. They are currently sitting at right now 4-2 in the conference. And their 2 losses are by 1 run. So a 1-0 loss and a 2-1 loss. So if they score runs and they're still tweaking that lineup, Coach Fletcher talked about it. He's still playing with it to put the right players in the right seats on the bus. Not if, but when they do that, this is going to be a really, really, really good team. They are already extremely solid. And once they get the offense clicking just a little bit more, they're going to be really, really tough to beat.
You know, speaking of performances by individuals, mentioned Corey Cook, you got Julia Shaw over there. I was one away from being able to quote Ferris Bueller's Day Off and say 9 times, but no, it's only 8 times for the stat I'm about to give you. 8 times Bridley Thomas over the past week was hit by a pitch. 4 in one game, the opener against UT Southern. Bridley the Bruised.
Bridley the Bruise.
He loves crowding that box, man. And he is already up to 18 on the year.
Does he have a chance to break the all-time NAI record for career?
He had one last year. Oh, well, career, I'm not sure. Because he transferred in from Mississippi College. So that's – I don't know how they handle career records at that point. But he is in his senior season. I feel like the single-season record is certainly one that he could see as an option. Because last year he surpassed Sloan Dieter's record, which was – 29 hit by pitches, and if these are up to date, I can tell you how many he had last year. Most hit by pitches, no, still got Sloan in there. I still could pull it up a different way, but I may run out of time to try to do that. But still, I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 32-34, and he was 2 or 3 away from tying the NAIA record for a single season. So he has an option, has the ability with some of the games coming up.
Oh, he's just going to blow it away, isn't he?
It could. He's you know, he's on pace right now. But obviously, as the season goes on, you get into conference tournaments. You get to the NAIA tournament where competition's better. You have less opportunities because you face better pitching at that point. But all that said, guy gets on base. It's like Moneyball. He gets on base. And at the top of the order, that's exactly what you want. And he's done a pretty good job of that.
He also does a great job in the stolen base department.
Yes, he does. So far this year in stolen bases, he has a perfect 23 for 23 record in that.
I feel like that's almost as equally as impressive, if not more so.
Yeah, he gets on base and gets into scoring position just about immediately.
Instantly. Yeah, instantly.
So can't argue with that one at all there. But to kind of put a bow on it, I think Carey's got a good opportunity in front of them. They miss out on a midweek matchup, which would have been a huge RPI opportunity against an LSU Shreveport team that I believe the last rating was number 4 in the country, depending on what you looked at, the NAIA ball media poll or the actual coaches poll. But that game officially canceled due to the weather that we're going to have in the area tomorrow. That game will not be made up. And so we will skip ahead to the weekend where Carey will host Point University. That will be a doubleheader on Friday, and then follow that up with a single game on Saturday. So that, I believe, was the only thing really affected by rain. And so Tuesday will be fairly wide open, except for women's golf that are playing their match over there in Hartwell, Georgia. Archery's got a big week. They've got the the USA Archery Indoor National Finals over in Las Vegas going on throughout the week. Men's and women's swimming have the NAIA National Championship over in Elkhart, Indiana. That going on the Wednesday and Thursday. I'm trying to get my dates in order. But boy, when you get to the weekend, it starts loading up with action. You've got softball playing in Gulf Shores, Alabama with a classic. They'll face Florida Memorial and Ave Maria. I was looking at beach volleyball. They're also in Gulf Shores. But Morningside and Texas A&M, Texarkana, the softball schedule. Cheer also has a competition in Decatur. You've got more beach volleyball over the weekend against St. Thomas in Gulf Shores on Saturday. Softball taking on Lindsey Wilson and Central Methodist. A whole lot more. Softball will finish up their weekend against St. Xavier on Sunday. But all of that you can find on the Crusader Sports app. Just search for William Carey and catch it there, or online at careyathletics.com.
Tennis, men and women.
Yes.
6-1, 6-1 over Xavier today.
Yes, big time wins right there. That's a good Xavier team, too. All right, we have a show in the book. Thanks so much to Coach McKenzie joining us earlier. For Michael Mergens behind the board, my co-host Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Satyrs.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.